Escaping architecture school with your life was just the beginning. The profession is deadlier than you think. I'm Tennille, and this is Death by Architecture. Welcome to Death by Architecture, a podcast about true crime in the architectural, engineering, and construction community. Each episode, I will bring you a story about a crime committed in the AEC world. At first glance, the Charlotte, North Carolina-based company, Little Diversified Architectural Consulting, also known as Little, seems just like your average architecture firm. They provide a slew of services, from engineering to sustainable design, and have worked with clients that encompass a wide range of industries, including groceries and supermarkets, as well as student housing and retail. But unlike most companies, the organizational culture at Little is second to none. It's the kind of workplace that fosters genuine growth and development in individuals, the kind where your colleagues are proud to see you succeed and more than willing to step in when things get tough. Simply put, it feels like a family, and I experienced this personally as I worked at the Little office in Los Angeles in 2018. Unfortunately, prior to my joining, this family went through a devastating loss when in November 2015, one of their most promising architects was killed in a grisly murder-suicide. In today's episode of Death by Architecture, the story of Desiree Cooper, a bright and passionate architect whose life was tragically cut short. There's still a deep wound left by her tragic passing. She was a fellow Black female architect, and I'm honored to tell her story. Born and raised in the sprawling city of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 36-year-old Desiree Cooper, or Des, as she preferred to be called, lived a life that many could only dream of. Her parents, Norman and Vivian, did all they could to give their only daughter the best education they could afford. Because of this, most of Des's childhood was spent attending one private religious school after the other, including St. Stephen's Episcopal School, the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary School, and Harrisburg Academy, where she graduated from in 1996. She was held in high regard by nearly everyone she met, from her classmates and teachers at school to the people in her tight-knit church community. For instance, a fellow parishioner whose child she used to babysit recalled Des as someone with a gentle personality who made all of those around her feel loved. Even her basketball and softball coach, Gene Serino, admired the teenage Des, whom she claimed stood out from the rest of her peers due to how she pushed herself to succeed in everything she did, whether it was her academic studies or her extracurricular activities. This ambition was one of Des's defining characteristics. After high school, Desiree pursued her lifelong dream of becoming an architect and attended North Carolina State University, where she majored in environmental design and architecture. Upon graduating in 2001, she returned to her home state of Pennsylvania to earn her master's degree from Temple University. Her tenacity, combined with her intelligence and her passion for architecture, quickly landed Des several enviable positions at companies up and down the East Coast, including one as far as Michigan. Despite her workload and packed schedule, Des made sure to spend her free time volunteering at community outreach programs. One of her personal advocacies was supporting inner city youth, which led her to participate in after-school activities hosted by the local YMCA, as well as other nonprofit organizations like Big Brother, Big Sister of America. Because of her professional achievements and active social life, Des was perceived as a role model for the youth. In 2014, she even graced the cover of Harrisburg Academy's news magazine in an issue that highlighted the success stories of the school's graduates. Des often credited the success that she enjoyed to her faith in God and to her family, with whom she was very close. She admired her older brother, Vashon, who had moved to New York, and also frequently took her mother on holiday trips abroad to Africa and to Europe. In 2014, Dez moved to Washington, D.C. after landing a role as a project manager at Little in their Arlington, Virginia office. It wasn't long before Dez found herself falling in love with her job and adopted city. When she wasn't working, she was either participating in community cleanups or volunteering at the Urban Land Institute, where she mentored several local students. Thanks to her friendly and outgoing personality, Dez also had a bustling social life despite being new to the city. In the spring, she began dating 37-year-old John Robinson, a personal trainer whom she had met at the local gym, where he had been working for over 6 years. Their relationship moved quickly. Dez introduced John to her mother, Vivian, who had paid her a visit in Washington, D.C. In another instance, she took him to Lower Paxton Township, where Vivian lived. Having renovated a number of single-family and multifamily homes in Harrisburg, Dez felt more than capable of taking on a row house located on Tennessee Avenue, which she had just purchased. Hoping to host her entire family for the holidays, Dez was extremely motivated to finish redesigning the row house. However, she was juggling her home project with her day job, as well as her volunteer work and her regular participation in local marathons. Because of all of this, John agreed to lend her a hand to ensure the house would be ready for her family. But by the time the holiday season came around, Dez unfortunately was no longer alive. On the afternoon of Monday, November 2nd, 2015, the police knocked on the door of Dez's home after receiving a call from her concerned mother. According to Vivian Cooper, the last time that Dez had called her was on Thursday, October 29th. This lack of contact from her only daughter worried her, particularly because the two of them spoke almost every morning on Dez's commute to work. Upon receiving no answer and hearing no movement, the authorities decided to enter the home anyway. However, nothing could prepare them to encounter the dead bodies of Desiree Cooper and John Robinson, both of whom sported gunshot wounds. Since the authorities initially ruled their death as suspicious, the area was swiftly cornered off and declared a crime scene. Investigators gathered evidence and interviewed Dez's neighbors, who claimed that they had last seen the couple talking to each other while inside John's car on Friday evening. The circumstances of their death didn't stay a mystery for long, though. The autopsy ordered on the two bodies determined that Dez's death was a homicide, while John's was a suicide. With this, the police were able to establish that John had shot Dez before turning the gun on himself and firing. But his motives remain unclear. Dez's parents were interviewed and said that they didn't know anything. In fact, Vivian even told the authorities that he didn't come across as someone capable of hurting her daughter. However, she claimed that during the visit, John had confided in her that he was hoping to ask Dez to marry him. Vivian alleged, though, that neither she nor her daughter was aware that he was already married. To quote an interview that she did with the Patriot News, quote, "I think he had become a little possessive of her. I think Dez was trying to pull out of the relationship," end quote. Mei Nguyen, Dez's longtime best friend, also recalled finding John sketchy when she first met him in late August 2015. The two women were participating together in a triathlon in York County, and John had come down to cheer Dez on. According to Penn Live, the digital publication of the Patriot News, quote, "Looking back, something did seem off about him," Nguyen said. At the time, she and her husband didn't know what to make of it. However, she said Robinson hardly spoke to Nguyen and her husband that day. "He also seemed quite infatuated with Dez," she said. Still, that wasn't a surprise because Dez was smart and beautiful and had that effect on lots of guys, end quote. On the other hand, no one in John's family was able to come up with an explanation as to why he would commit this tragic murder-suicide. His sisters came down to Washington, D.C., from the Northeast a day after the bodies were discovered. Unfortunately, the only piece of information they were able to contribute to the investigation was that they knew that their brother had a girlfriend, although he hadn't even introduced her to them yet. Without any insight into the couple's relationship and the events that led to their untimely death, the reasons behind the murder-suicide of Desiree Cooper and John Robinson remain completely unknown to this day, which is super frustrating. Given the unexplainable circumstances of her death, Desiree Cooper was deeply mourned by her friends and family. A vigil was held in her honor in Washington, D.C., and was attended by at least 75 people, while another one in Harrisburg drew all of those who had watched her grow up, from her fellow churchgoers to her former high school teachers. The service in her hometown was particularly heartbreaking. One of her former classmates shared that Des had taught him how to read when they were younger, while another childhood friend said that she had named her daughter Desiree to keep the memory of the kind, compassionate, and ambitious woman alive. But no one was as grief-stricken as Vivian Cooper, who tried her best to maintain a positive outlook in honor of her daughter's unwavering optimism. She said that, quote, "She was a good kid. She had little flaws. She was always late for everything, but she was extremely family oriented. Everyone tells me they never heard her once say a negative thing about anyone. She was my inspiration," end quote. This story really hits me hard. From all the friends of hers that I talked to, they say that she was fun, hardworking, and a great friend. I feel like her and I would have been friends. She was young, African-American, and an architect, and doing the dang thing. I hate that this is even a story at all, but I wanted her story to be heard. Please, if you're out there dating, be safe. And if you see red flags in your relationship, please leave. Desiree Cooper will always be remembered by her friends and family. She truly was an inspiration. African-American women are hugely underrepresented in architecture. Just 0.3%, fewer than 500 Black women are licensed architects in the U.S. The Architects Foundation is fundraising to create a scholarship specifically for Black women in architecture in honor of Desiree Cooper, AIA. To find out how to create a pathway to equity in architecture, please head to the Architects Foundation website and make a donation. I will put the link for the Architects Foundation in the show notes. That's it for this episode of Death by Architecture. Don't forget to rate and review, only if it's 5 stars, and subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also follow me on Instagram at Death by Architecture Pod. Thanks again for listening, and stay safe, everyone.